NA1 Sugar Sugar, this is Victor Oscar 1 BZM. Do you copy, Chris? NA1 SS, this is VO1 BZM calling. NA1 SS, VO1 BZM calling. NA1 Sugar Sugar, this is VO1 BZM calling. NA1 SS, VO1 BZM calling. Good to hear you, Commander Hadfield. This is Keith at the controls, and here we go with your first question.
This is Dylan. If you could explore any part of the solar system, where would it be? Over.
Dylan, this is Chris Hadfield up here at the space station. I choose Mars because Mars has an atmosphere, Mars has water, Mars is a place we could live, Mars is not too much more harsh than the worst parts of the world. So I think it's our logical next step, and that's where I would like to live if I had the choice. Over.
This is Evan. What did it feel like to be the first Canadian to walk in space? Over.
Evan, it was spectacular. It was not only the first Canadian, but the first time for me. And it was a magnificent personal and professional experience to be alone in between the world and the universe. It was better than any flying I've done, and I really enjoy flying. Over.
This is Chantel. Did your time as an air cadet have any impact on your decision to join the Canadian Forces and later become an astronaut? Over.
Chantel, my time as an astronaut, I think, helped me become a successful pilot and officer in the Canadian Forces, and definitely helped me as an astronaut. And it was all part of the same thought process for me. I joined air cadets because I was thinking of being an astronaut and because I wanted to fly airplanes. Be in the airport. So it's all connected for me. Over.
This is Mau Mau. Do you think that spaceflight is something that will be accessible to the masses within our lifetime? Over. What are some of the experiments you and your crew are currently running on the ISS? Over.
Alex, we have experiments that are looking at the world, to look at the atmosphere and at the weather on the surface. We have experiments that are gathering matter and antimatter from the universe and dark energy to understand what the universe is made of. And inside, we have experiments about how human body works, about how the Earth's core is functioning, about how materials behave under different magnetic fields without gravity, how fluids behave, and mixing metals at high temperatures without gravity. It's a really busy laboratory. Over.
This is Kafra. Which of the research projects you're working on do you think has most scientific potential? Over.
I think the research we're doing in fundamental fluid physics has a lot of opportunity. If you can understand how fluids flow through tiny tubes and fundamentally with Marangoni flow, you can change the design of cooling systems and of medical testing systems. I think that is great opportunity, but also just understanding how the universe works, the basic physics of the universe. That's what gets us so much of solid-state electronics, and I think it is great opportunity and commercial application. Over.
This is Chris. How did the different cultural backgrounds and languages on the ISS affect your ability to lead your crew?
Yes, absolutely. Languages, we speak Russian and English, and so it was necessary to learn Russian.
Colonel Hadfield, are you still with us? NA1SS, VO1BZM calling. NA1SS, VO1BZM. NA1SS, VO1BZM.
Go ahead. Over.
I think we had something cut in your side there. Here's your next question.
This is Jordan. What is the most difficult part about being in a low-gravity environment? Over.
Jordan, the most difficult part about being in a low-gravity environment is... You know, in fact, it makes most things easier. It's actually quite hard to do up your shoes because you float around. We put on shoes to use the exercise equipment. And if you're always floating and bouncing off the ceiling, it's hard to do up your shoes when you're floating around the room. It's a surprising thing, but it's difficult. Over.
This is Caitlin. How will the International Space Station deorbit and return to Earth? Over.
Caitlin, at the end of its life, fire the thrusters, the engines on the International Space Station, to drive it into the atmosphere like a meteorite, and parts of it will survive and make it all the way to the surface. So we'll crash it into a big empty ocean, the South Pacific. That's what we normally do with old spaceships, and that's what we'll do with the space station maybe 15 years from now or so. Over.
This is Alex. What type of aircraft is your favorite to fly? Over.
Alex, my favorite aircraft to fly, and I've flown a lot, is the F-86 Sabre, the Canadair Sabre, a beautiful old airplane. There's only one flying in Canada. It flies out of Gatineau, Quebec, in a museum there. It's a beautiful extension of humanity, of my hands and feet. It's like you have wings on your back. The F-86 Sabre.
This is Dylan. How does your time as the commander on Nemo 14 compare to being the commander on the ISS?
The two are very similar, Dylan. The big difference is length of time. We're on station for half a year. We were underwater for just a few weeks. But the isolation, the danger, the close quarters, the heavy schedule, they were very similar. It was a good simulator, a good trainer for being the commander of a spaceship. Over.
This is Evan. In what ways is the ISS a suitably conscious environment?
The ISS, I think, makes us more aware of the environment, if that's what you meant by your question. We see the whole world every 90 minutes, and so we're very aware of the health of the Earth and what impact we're having on the Earth. And we think about it, and we talk about it. I think if everyone could see the world this way, they'd be more suitably conscious of the environment. Over.
This is Chantel. How does the ISS aid in the development of space exploration? Over.
Chantel, the space station is the test vehicle to design spaceships. If we're going to get in a spaceship and go to Mars or further, if you're going to do that, Chantel, you want to know that your equipment is going to work. What to make the metal out of, what to make the pumps out of, how do you build the wires, how do you build the food system, the toilet system.
Hello, this is Mau Mau. How long does it take to travel from Earth to the ISS? Over.
NA1SS, this is VO1BZM.
This is the space station. Go ahead, over.
Okay, we had a little something going on here. We'll bring our next question on now. Hopefully we'll get one more in. Thank you.
Hello, this is Mau Mau. How long does it take to travel from Earth to the ISS? Over.
Mau Mau, you could do it in a couple hours, but then you'd be really rushed. In May, when they do it, they'll do it in 4 orbits, or 6 hours, from launch to docking, 6 hours. We took 2 days because that's the old traditional way, but we're trying to speed it up so that the new answer is 6 hours. Over.
This is Alex. How does sleeping on the ISS differ from sleeping on Earth?
The big difference is you don't lie down. You float. So your sleeping bag floats, and you float. No mattress, no pillow. It's more like sleeping while you're floating in a beautifully warm swimming pool. Over.
Hi, this is Kaffer. What kinds of tasks are completed during spacewalks? Over.
We save the tasks outside that you can only do with your hands. Delicate tasks. Tasks that require human judgment. If it's simple, we let the robot arm do it. If it's hard, then we have to go outside and do it ourselves. Over.
Colonel Hatfield, thanks very much for this. We're at the end of our pass here. Thanks a lot. Successful flying, and we much appreciate it.
It was a real pleasure for me, and congratulations to all of you on being cadets and for getting there today despite the snowstorm. And per ardua, ad astra. Over.
Colonel Hatfield, this is Albert Price, VO1 Delta Kilo. I had the pleasure of coordinating this. Pleasure of saying hello to you, and success with your trip.